This is Joe Franks. It's Thursday, January 20th. It's another episode of Unfathomable Grace. This is that time when once a week we walk in a passage of Scripture and try to find the gospel present there, which encourages us to rest in what Christ has done. It also motivates us to be faithful, to pursue faithfulness, to try to put the faith that Christ has given us into action. And so in Genesis chapter 22, God called Abraham to do the unthinkable. He was to take his miraculously provided son, Isaac, whose name means laughter, the one that he was promised, the one that he waited for, the one that came through Sarah. And he was to take Isaac and go to the mountain of Moriah, and there he was to offer him as a burnt offering. It's unthinkable. But in obedience, Abraham rose early, saddled his donkey, took two servants, and took his son Isaac. Together they all caravaned as they set out to the place assigned by God. Then on the third day, Abraham separated his son from his servants. He left the servants back there with the donkey, and from this point on, Abraham and Isaac would go alone. This was a private matter, a private affair between the loving father and his beloved son. But prior to separation, Abraham looked at his servants and he said the following, "I and the boy will go over there and worship and will come again to you." To the servants, this statement carried no weight. That's what was expected. But for Abraham, this was an incredible profession of faith. I don't know that he put all the pieces together or not, but Abraham, while on a God-directed mission to offer his only son as a sacrifice, still reasoned he would see his son raised from the dead and bring him home. We learn of this in Hebrews chapter 11. So with that being said, Abraham loaded up his son with the wood, loaded the wood on his son, and in his own hands he kept the fire and the knife, the implements of sacrifice. And the two of them, father and son, continued towards the mountain assigned by God. Somewhere along the way, Isaac popped the question, "Dad, where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham then gave what has become his famous response, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." Abraham knew the plan. Abraham led the way. Abraham built the altar. Abraham arranged the wood. Abraham took out the rope. And when the time was right, Isaac submitted to his father. He did the unthinkable. Isaac allowed himself to be bound and placed upon the altar. Can you imagine the look in his eyes when Abraham took the knife and readied himself to slice the throat? Can you imagine the tears streaming as the father readied himself to sacrifice his son as an offering? The knife is clutched, the hand is raised, but then in the nick of time, the angel of the Lord spoke, "Abraham, Abraham, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." You notice the identification between the angel of the Lord and not withholding Isaac from me. Could this be a theophany, a Christophany, an appearance of God, of Jesus Christ? While Abraham and Isaac rejoiced together. Then they saw a ram which God provided. Somehow it was there stuck in its horn, with its horns in the thorns. Together they sacrificed it. Together, I think they looked forward to a coming human sacrifice that would take away the sin of the world. And then together, hand in hand, they walked back towards the servants and the donkey they had left behind. So friends, what was the point of this strange historical event? What was God seeking to communicate to and through Abraham and Isaac? In John 8:56, Jesus said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. Abraham saw it and was glad." Those are the words of Jesus. Abraham saw the day of Jesus. In Galatians 3:8, Paul writes, "God preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham. God was the teacher, Abraham was the learner, and at some point in Abraham's life, the gospel was preached by God to Abraham. In Hebrews 11, it is very, very clear that Isaac is a picture, a type, a symbol of Jesus Christ. So therefore, we are not exactly sure when and how many times the gospel of Jesus Christ was presented to Abraham. We are not exactly sure how much of Jesus' life and passion was known by the patriarch. But we have to conclude, based upon this event and others, that major components of God's gospel was understood by this father and son. And after this particular episode, what do Abraham and Isaac know? That the father would have one supernaturally provided son. That the father would promise land, seed, and multi-ethnic nations to and through this son. That the father would then lead his own son to a mountain with servants and a donkey. The son would submit to the father. The son would carry the lumber of his own sacrifice upon his back. The son would not fight at the hour of sacrifice. No, he would lay down his own life, and the son would be sacrificed as an offering by his own father. Yes, the son and the father would do the unthinkable together. But then somehow, the father, son, and servants would be reunited on the other side of the mountain. Somehow there would be an offering. Somehow there would be resurrection. Somehow there would be reunion. And all of this was learned on the third day. So yes, friends, I know that the way we've learned this tale, it was a test of Abraham's faith. And so I guess we can give a golf clap to Abraham because he did see the faith that was gifted to him. He was faithful in this regard. But friends, I think this is way more than just a test of Abraham's faith. Yes, Abraham experienced the measure of faith given him by God. He was faithful. But ultimately, Abraham learned that God was most faithful. The father was the faithful one who would execute his son. The son was the faithful one who would receive the father's wrath. Why? That many sinners like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, you and me might enjoy paradise in Abraham's bosom. So friends, through this tale, this true tale, this historic tale, we see God teaching Abraham and his spiritual descendants, that's us, to imagine and feel the unthinkable. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him might not perish, might not receive the Father's wrath, but instead receive everlasting life. That's unthinkable. And it's true. And it's ours.